Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta. Folks, if you are tired of the big bank experience that is affecting your small business, and you know what I mean, I don't even think I need to define that. Here's what my suggestion is. Go to renaissancebank.com and find their local office, and they've got some 200 across the South ready to serve you, and give them a call. And I think what you'll find is a bank that is big enough to have folks answering their own phone, small enough to be answering their own phone, big enough to be able to handle pretty much any need you can throw at them. And that's a good combination. So check them out. I think you'll be glad you did. I know I have seen that in some of the folks that I have worked with, the fact that they feel like it's a good decision to be working with Renaissance Bank. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Jant Umrani. And Jay, as he's known, is the founder and CEO of Bolt Today. Jay, welcome.
Hello. Hi. Thank you, John, for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Let's talk a little bit about you and how you're serving folks at Bolt today.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So first, thank you, John, for such a nice introduction.
Yes.
So what I started is a company called Bolt Today. We are a Salesforce consulting and app exchange partner, but with a great difference. And we want to talk about it today.
Mm-hmm.
But important difference is that we work with customers to generate the business outcomes that they need to grow their business. Okay. So, and Salesforce is equipped to be that tool, but at many places we have seen that it is not correctly been configured for them to achieve that.
Mm.
So that's the secret of our success, of why we are here.
Well, I love that. Outcomes. You're focused on outcomes and helping people make something that's not quite right.
Yes.
Make it right again, I guess. But let's, before we get into exactly how that works, let's talk a little bit about you and your background. Corporate job before you started Bolt Today. Talk about your journey and why you left corporate to start this company.
Well, sure. So I have around 30 plus years of experience. Okay. So not young as you see other young people doing startups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Started my company at the age of 45, which is not really heard of in many scenarios. Okay. Had a very nice corporate career. Okay. For the last company I had, I stayed with them for almost 12 years, right? Through them, I had an opportunity to come to the US. Okay. Got my US citizenship and all the things done. But one important, and I was the person who started the Salesforce practice for this company. And from zero to almost 75 million, we took it in 5 years.
Mm.
And that is the time what I really realized is the pain customers are facing, okay, because of Salesforce. Okay. And it is not Salesforce at fault. It is really the people or vendors who are helping these customers configure Salesforce and customize Salesforce, right? They are not doing it right.
Mm.
And I was part of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I decided to really say that there has to be a better way of configuring Salesforce and using Salesforce more as a tool to grow your business, okay, and not as a record-keeping system, which many people use today.
Mm.
Okay. Saying that, what are my sales guys doing? I want to know, right? So if the opportunity is not in Salesforce, you will not get paid. These kind of things you hear from salespeople. So companies are mandating them to do it, but it becomes an overhead on salespeople to do that. Okay. What are they getting out of it? Is putting an opportunity in Salesforce helping them close the opportunity faster? It is not, right? And that is why the adoption on Salesforce had been traditionally low.
Mm.
Right? Adoption causes data quality problems, right? People are not entering data in enough, right? If you don't have good quality enough data, you can't generate business insights. So whole purpose of taking Salesforce falls apart just by one simple thing, saying that, is the Salesforce really working to give you the business outcomes? And to say it in a different way, is Salesforce really helping the users do their job better? Right? Because the users are not only sales users anymore. It started as for sales people, but now finance people use it, product people use it, right? Health cloud hospitals use it, right? Finance cloud wealth managers use it, right? So there are now all the front-end users who are using Salesforce system. Is Salesforce helping them do their job better? Right? And can Salesforce help? Absolutely, yes. And I'll share with you some of the success stories that we had. And I was delighted to get the calls from the customer when they say what kind of outcome we generated for them and how it is helping.
Sure.
But that was the core reason of, why I decided to step out from my corporate job and say that I can make a difference, right? Let me give a stab at it. Okay. Yes, I'm late in my career to do this, but I'm glad I did it because I'm enjoying it so much. And the real enjoyment is when the customers tell you how your work helps them.
Oh yeah, job better. For sure. Jay, I'm struck by something you said there. Essentially, you said, I decided to quit being part of the problem and be part of the solution, which is a pretty transparent, terrific thing to say. Say more about that. And I guess maybe just stepping back to 40,000 feet, why is it that Salesforce is such a it's so difficult for a company to successfully implement the platform?
Okay, glad you asked me that. Because many customers feel, and we all feel the same way, that I bought an application, it should work for me, right? And people compare it, or we think it is something like Microsoft Office. I bought Office, I open Excel, it just works for me, right? But Salesforce is not an application. It is a platform, okay? And people misunderstand that, okay? Yes, there are applications that Salesforce has written on that platform, okay? So the core platform of Salesforce, technically it is called force.com, okay? And everything that Salesforce has built on that platform. So sales cloud, service cloud, health cloud, whatever clouds you see are core built on this platform, okay? And what are these clouds? These clouds are the business use cases for specific domains, okay? Sales cloud is for salespeople. Service cloud is for service people. Health cloud is for healthcare industry. So they have now also started getting into industry specific verticals, right? But why do many people get it wrong? Or why do my competition gets it wrong? Or why I was a part of a problem, right? As a vendor of Salesforce, is primarily because there are, if you look at, there are two types of vendors in a Salesforce ecosystem. Okay, one are the people who have built some products on top of this platform. Okay, and products are typically extension functionality on top of Salesforce, which can solve a specific problem. Okay, to give you an example, a product can be a billing product. Okay, so when your opportunity closes, you want to bill the customer. All of that functionality they have built as a product and they sell it. So it sits on top of your existing Salesforce and it works charm for you, right? And there are other types of custom vendors who are services vendors, okay? Who purely say that, let me understand your requirements. I have done it, been there. I will help you customize Salesforce, right? But now if you look at a customer and look at what he is using today, you will see that he is using both the things. He is using few products. He has customized few things. He has a vendor who is doing customization for him. Okay. So what that tells you is neither a single product nor a single service, right, really solves the customer problem. Because both of these people are not really talking about customers' outcomes. They are only talking about what customer needs and let me build it for them. Okay. And if you look from that vision, saying that let me understand the requirements and build it for you, right? Customers many times don't know what they want, okay? And eventually it evolves in a product the moment they start seeing things, right? So if you really only myopically focus on requirements and try to do a delivery, you are 80% going to get it wrong, right? And that is where I have seen most of the vendors not able to really do justice, okay, to the Salesforce platform. Okay. And that is the problem I was also into, right? And last thing I will tell you is product people are, their metrics is, let me get per user, per license fee. So I want maximum people to use my product, maximum number of users in a company. Right? How do I maximize that? So they try to build the product such a way that most of the people in the company should be in a position to use. Okay. Services people are all, let me bill maximum hours so I get paid.
Right.
So they will, services people seldom recommend a product, and product people seldom say that this problem can be solved by services. Right. Because it reduces their dollar value coming into their pocket.
Right.
And that is another problem why, neither of these people are able to really tell the customer that this is the outcome that you're expecting. For this outcome, you require a combination of product and services. Right? And that is where, when I wanted to, why I wanted to step out and do it and why I could not do it in my corporate job is because I was a part of a services company. Services companies don't want to invest in products. Okay? Product companies don't want to become services companies. But if you look at a customer, both the things... combination of this solves the problem, right? So there was no other way for me to then say, let me step out, right? And do something which nobody has done. So you will not find a services vendor who does both the things successfully. So
let's, this is a big hairy question with maybe an even bigger and hairier answer. But I guess, how do you determine the outcomes that a company is looking for in from Salesforce? How do you ensure those outcomes become reality? And maybe you can give an illustration of what the value of that outcome is, because what you're talking about is the analytics, the value of the analytics that come out of that, right? And that's a multiplier factor, if you will. That's a big number.
Yes, absolutely right. Absolutely right. So let me give you an example, right? So whenever we engage with a customer, customer has a specific problem, okay? And the typical problems that we see in Salesforce are adoption is low. People are not using it well, okay? Or the data quality is bad. There is a lot of duplication data. So Salesforce is not the source of truth. They have to go to multiple system, consolidate the report, takes them a week to really get an insight of where we are today, question, right? And finally, there is a lot of products and customization Salesforce people have done to adopt to their business process that it becomes very difficult and tedious for salespeople and for users to use Salesforce. They spend 3 to 4 hours a week just inputting data, and they don't get anything out of it, right? Out of that. And that's, so when we engage with the customer, these are some of the problems that we commonly hear. Okay. So how do I go towards an outcome is the question that you wanted to ask, right? So what we do is, we don't really say that this problem can be solved this way, because there is a way of solving a data problem, a user acceptance problem. Salesforce has released a lot of best practices saying that how do you increase adoption, right? Everybody knows those, right? But they don't work effectively if you don't solve the core problem that you're having, right? So it is like in life, right? Do you want to take medicine to cure your disease, or do you want to take medicine to reduce the symptoms, right?
Right.
So if you are reducing the symptoms for life, you're taking medicine. But if you are taking a medicine to cure it, you have to take it for a specific period of time, right? And that is how I look at the problem, right? So what I do is, we talk to 4 or 5 key business stakeholders who are using Salesforce. Okay, so definitely sales leadership is one of them, right? Finance people use it. CFO needs to know forecast, needs to know a lot of insights from Salesforce. We talk to them. Executive management is there, who needs to know how overall the company is doing. Are we going to meet our targets, right? Where are the blind spots we have? Why are we losing deals to our competition? Mm. Right? They, we need to know that insights. Service people want to know, are we servicing the customer correctly? Right? What is our true NPS score? Right? Is the customer raising 10 cases a week a good customer or a bad customer? Right?
Right.
Because people go towards a vanity metrics instead of a real metrics. Right? Mm-hmm. That's another problem of our industry. Mm. But when I talk to these stakeholders and understand what are you looking for from Salesforce is the question I ask them. Right? And these kinds of answers I get. For example, when we go to VP of sales, he wants to know, saying that, Jayant, I would like to know where are we, you know, if it's a quarter, where are we, where do we stand in terms of our opportunities, and which are the opportunities where my salespeople need help? Because that's the only place I have bandwidth to help them, right? There are 300 opportunities going on under me because there are 10 salespeople, everybody's working on 10 opportunities. It is not possible for me to look into all 100 opportunities. I can only look into 10 opportunities, right? But which are those 10 I want to know from Salesforce? That's the outcome he's expecting, right? Second outcome he says is, I want to make sure our forecast is accurate, because I give forecast to my management and invariably 15 to 20% falls through the crack. Some deals surprise us, they fall through the crack, right? Some deals which are not mentioned suddenly happen because salespeople keep deals in their back pocket, don't tell us, right? And these kind of surprises we want to avoid.
Right.
Now go to CFO, for example, right? He asks you a clear question saying that, I'm spending $2 million, for example, on Salesforce. What outcome am I getting? If I spend more money with you to optimize Salesforce, right, will my operational costs reduce? Because if it's not going to reduce, why am I spending this money? Will my business outcomes increase? Will I get more revenue? For him, it is either the cost or the revenue.
Sure.
That's the metrics for him. So this is the way, when you talk to different stakeholders, we capture these outcomes from them, expected outcomes. I call them business metrics for a stakeholder.
Right.
Business metrics is not for a company. It is for a stakeholder. Right? Combinedly, it becomes for the company.
Right.
And then when we look at Salesforce, then we say that, okay, you want to build these kind of outcomes. What is the problem in Salesforce? Yes, the problem is your data quality is bad. Problem is your adoption is bad, right? But now when you are solving that problem, you're solving the problem to give them that outcome. Okay, to give an example of what I just said, if the outcome is going to be saying that I need to know which opportunities are supposed to be problem opportunities, which I should be highlighted into, right? Or sales, VP of sales, I should be notified about, right?
Right.
Then when you're building the opportunity management or correcting the opportunity management and correcting the data, you also need to put in the metrics to do opportunity qualification or opportunity maturity, as we call it.
Right.
Right. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 to 100, right? And understand their parameters, that what does a matured opportunity mean to you? Then they tell you these three things happen, the opportunity closes. It's unique to every business it is.
Right, right. Right.
That is the metrics. Now, if you implement that in Salesforce, you are going to get an opportunity maturity score correctly. And opportunities which are in forecast but not really matured are the opportunities which the VP of sales should look at. Saying that you are forecasting this opportunity, right? But the maturity score is below 50. Why? What's wrong? Right? And that is how you give them the outcomes and make it actionable so that they can do something about it.
Folks, we're speaking with Jayant Umrani. Jay is the founder and CEO of Bolt Today. So, Jay, let's bring this down to a real situation if we can. You've had a number of success stories, but I'd love it if you could share one that's indicative of the work you do, realizing that you probably can't share a name, but that's okay. Just hearing one success story anonymously would be great.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So, and I'll give you a story of Atlanta, right, where we stay and the difference we want to make.
Sure.
So last year, we got a call from a healthcare company in Atlanta. It's quite big, sizable company. You know, healthcare is a big part of our Atlanta ecosystem and business system. And they called me for exactly the same reason, saying that they want to migrate from Salesforce Classic to Lightning, which is Classic is an old platform, Lightning is a new platform. And they were really looking at a technical migration. saying that what does it take to make whatever is working right now in Classic to make it work in Lightning. Okay. And that is where I made them take a step back. I said, let us take a step back and say that why do you want to go there? Because Salesforce is not today technically retiring Classic. So you can stay on Classic for the next 5 years. So why do you want to spend money right now? Okay. Why do you want to go to Lightning? Right. And then they said, oh, it can increase our adoption because that's how the market looks at it. It can increase our adoption. It can give us better data quality, this, that. And then I went into and said, give me 30 minutes or even 15 minutes of each stakeholder. I want to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And after that, I will tell you that what it is going to cost you to make this happen. Right. And when I did the interview of 4 stakeholders in that company, a CFO, a VP of sales, and it is a healthcare company who produces healthcare devices,
okay,
which are used in hospitals. So compliance is a big part of it, saying that if the device causes any injury, then they need to track it and they need to report it, right? So when I asked the questions to different people and gathered the metrics, I realized that their real problem was they don't have customers' source of truth. Okay, a VP of sales is not even logging into Salesforce once a week.
Okay.
He is relying on the Excel files that are sent by sales operations to him, saying that where we are. And he's using that Excel file to do discussions with your salespeople. And though that Excel file is, of course, a few days old,
mm-hmm.
so the sales guy always has a better information.
Right.
So it becomes a lagging conversation rather than leading conversation.
Mm.
Right. And you know, salespeople are very good at managing their bosses.
Oh, come right? on. I'm shocked to hear that.
Right. So the problem is, he says, I don't get right insights, saying that are our opportunities really mature to the level the sales guy is telling me, and will we meet our forecast?
Mm.
Right. And that is the problem. So the problem is that, and problem is not really moving from Classic to Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, how is user experience going to help you? And he had no answer to it. He said, I don't know. You tell me. Right. That's what I have been told, saying that let's move to Lightning, fund this project. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you will get this outcome. I think I said, you'll not get this outcome just by changing the UI from old to new.
Right.
We'll have to fundamentally make some optimization, business process optimization we'll have to make. We'll have to add some business metrics that you want to measure, right? And quantify the opportunities to that level. So when you are talking to a salesperson, you know where the opportunity stands, and you can ask a leading question, saying that, you have forecasted this opportunity, but I see that you do not have a champion identified yet. How do you think the opportunity is going to close?
Right.
Right. Or you have not still shipped the samples to the customer, and customer has not given feedback about the samples. So how do you think the opportunity is going to close in this quarter? Because these things take time. We know how our business works.
Sure.
And he loved that conversation. He said, can you make this happen? I said, absolutely, I can make this happen. Right. And then we went through... So there is a dirty work that needs to happen. We need to clean up the data. We need to clean up the page layouts and UI, because people have 300 fields on their pages. Now, if you show a page with so many fields to a sales guy, he gets saying, oh my God, I can't do this, right?
Right.
Where I only update 10 fields a day. Why right. am I seeing so many fields? So we did all of that plumbing work to it. And then when we implemented the business metrics and I showed him a dashboard, okay, which gave him that view. Okay, I said, homepage is the place where you need to be. That is the place your 80% work needs to get done. And I did that homepages for everybody, all salespeople, right from the bottommost salesperson to the CEO. Okay, and I said, you log in here. This is what you need to get your insights. And that is how we completed the project. But to my surprise, after a month, I get a call from one of the VPs, okay? And he tells me, Jayant, you don't realize what you have done for us. So I said, tell me, what did I do for you? He said, we used to take 1 week of effort to consolidate the data, okay? Do the sales call. So it used to be a 1 hour sales calls to understand the opportunities. Okay, that is our prior scenario, right? And today we log into Salesforce, right? We see all real-time updated data. I complete the conversation in 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So you have said 45 minutes of each and every of my sales guy, and we are a 1,500 salespeople company. So you can imagine the impact that you have created.
Wow.
And that really motivates me to do what I do. So that's sure. how the outcome-based success you really look for.
Wow. What a story. That's awesome. Jan Tumrami, folks, he's the founder and CEO of Bolt Today. Wow, this is unbelievable. Great stuff. Let's talk briefly as we kind of draw to a close. You know, for those companies that use Salesforce, you know, and their stakeholders in that platform, where is Salesforce headed?
Oh, that's a good question. Many customers ask me that. Mm-hmm. And as we have known, Salesforce started as a sales company or providing tools for salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it has really grown to a level where most of the people in a company touch Salesforce, right? But where is it headed? And we didn't touch one thing about is the analytics and AI that everybody talks about.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And Salesforce is definitely headed there. So I call it as a relational analytics is the place where Salesforce is headed. And let me explain you what that means, right? Relational analytics is, can you really give me real-time feedback when a conversation is going on? For example, when you're talking to your customer, as a sales representative or a customer service representative is talking to the customer,
mm-hmm.
right? Can the Salesforce platform provide him insight saying that based on this conversation, you should talk to him about this service or talk to him about this product?
Mm.
And that happening in real time.
Mm. Okay?
We see that coming up out in Salesforce. It is called Service Cloud Intelligence. Okay, they have not launched it yet, but it is coming. But that is really where the entire world is headed, right? Because I don't want analytics based on my past data. That's
right.
What is happening right now. Collect data, do all big warehouse. Let me find a needle for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what analytics do,
mm-hmm.
right? It is good, but it is not really good enough because business is changing by hour, right? So I want it in real time.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly where Salesforce is headed. They're investing heavily into Einstein, into Tableau, and into these analytics tools. And they're coming up with a real-time analytics saying that if I'm talking to you, I can really tell you in real time what your problem is. So how you should address, the customer is annoyed. So, you know, bring your tone down or give him something, explain him the situation, right? Or he's asking for something and this service fits better. Propose him something, do an upsell here.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of relational analytics is where really Salesforce is headed.
So. Wow. As they do that, that only increases the need for your service.
Yes.
In terms of helping Salesforce users implement those capabilities.
Yes, your Salesforce platform has to be optimized.
Mm-hmm.
It should have right amount of data,
mm-hmm.
you know, correct data for you to generate these kind of analytics.
Right.
Because if garbage in, garbage out, we always call it in analytics.
Sure.
Right? So this, it is a need of the hour now. And I have seen significant acceleration in COVID that people went for digitization and majority projects we did is optimizing Salesforce.
Right? Mm. Wow. Jay, this has been great. And I can't imagine at this point, folks that are listening to this don't want to be in touch. So let's tell them how they can get in touch with you and learn more about your services.
Absolutely. So I'm based in Atlanta, in Alpharetta. So I'm 2 miles away from where we are right now.
Yeah.
You can reach me or reach us anytime. So my website is bolt.today. It is not .com. It is a new domain. And
mm-hmm.
there is also a story behind it. We say that we want to provide you value today.
Mm.
Right? We don't to provide you after 3 months. We want to provide you today. And that is how Bolt Today started. Bolt on solutions that work for you today. Okay. So go to our website. You can contact me from there. My email is jayant@bolt.today. So you can directly try and reach out to me. And we'll be very happy to help you.
Jayant Tumrami, folks, he is the founder and CEO of Bolt Today. Jay, this has been great. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure. Yeah, great pleasure. Folks, just a quick reminder. If you've got administrative tasks in your small, medium-sized business that you need help with, that you're maybe as a founder and owner spending way too much time on, My suggestion is go to officeangels.us and check out the services that they offer there. The chief executive angel at Office Angels, her name is Essie Escobedo, and she's been around for 21 years helping small businesses leverage themselves and create opportunities for growth by getting rid of those mind-blowing tasks that owners shouldn't be working on. So administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, there's all sorts of services they offer. My suggestion is give her a call, 770-442-9246. Tell her I sent you, and I can't recommend her enough because she has what I explained that she does for other businesses, she's done for mine. So I can't recommend her highly enough. Folks, just a quick reminder, we would love it if you would go to your favorite podcast app, search for North Fulton Business Radio and subscribe. My bold ask is that you give us a 5-star review. And there's a simple reason for that. It's not about me. It's not about Business Radio X. It's about our guest. We want folks to be able to find the show and utilize the great services of entrepreneurs and business owners like Jay and the other over 600 guests that we've had on this show over the last 5 years. So if you could do that for us, we'd appreciate it. And you can connect with us on social media. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. North Fulton BRX is the search term there. So for my guest, Jay Umrani, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.